Romans 1. Romans 1. Glory to God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, illuminate your word for us, and I promise to give you all the glory, Jesus. In Romans 1. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Did you roam there yet? Ha ha. I've been watching too many Sesame Street, my daughter. I'm telling you. And put down the ducky, you know what I mean? I'm telling you, I'm sleeping with these songs. I'm trying to read scriptures, I'm going, put down the ducky. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Hello?
Hello.
Separated to what? The gospel of God. Now, we know that the gospel of God wasn't written yet. Hello? So Paul was getting the revelation from God to write his gospel. Does everybody understand it? Yes, it's the New Testament. Does everybody get it? It's the New Testament. Paul was an eyewitness, wasn't he? He was writing the gospel. The letters, the gospel is a representation of what? Messages. Right? Okay. All right. I didn't want anybody freaking out on me. Which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, these were the interpretations of that which was written, wasn't it? Because most of the prophets in the Old Testament didn't even know what they were saying. Concerning the Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for what? Obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. It is called the what? The apostleship for the obedience to the faith. Now I want to share something tonight. Obedience is God's will. Does everybody understand it? And that's tonight's teaching, obedience. Obedience. What is obedience? It's a representation of obeying, isn't it? Obeying. So many times we lose sight that God speaks to us and shares with us to do something, and in so doing this, we either alter it, we don't fulfill it, or we don't do it. Anything that is altered is known as disobedience. Anything that is fulfilled according to what he asks us to do is known as obedience. Jesus went along to his disciples. He didn't go to them and said, believe me. He said, follow me, didn't he? He said, follow me. Obedience is a representation of following Christ. Does everybody understand that? The main purpose of the devil is to move us off track so that we can get into disobedience. Then he is glorified, isn't he? Every time we're disobedient, he's glorified. And every time we're obedient, Jesus is glorified. Amen? Okay. Let's go a little. In Hebrews 5, hallelujah. In Hebrews, you know, if you've ever run across a believer, somebody says, yes, I know the Lord, and they're walking in disobedience according to the Word of God, you question that, don't you? Because Jesus is not being glorified. The devil is being glorified. And those who are led by the flesh are glorifying the devil, not the Spirit, or not the Lord, right? Somebody with me? In Hebrews 5, in verse 5. Is everybody there? So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries, tears, to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he, what? Learned obedience by what? The things which he suffered. Glory to God. You know what? The Bible says that a believer will suffer. He's not going to tiptoe through the tulips. He's going to go through trials and tribulations and conflicts. The Bible says that we will be afflicted. That's a part of suffering. When Jesus rescued Saul, who became Paul, right, he said to Ananias, he told him, he said, he's going to have to do a lot of suffering for my namesake. Okay? Sufferings, now it doesn't mean that we go out and look for sufferings. You're not going to run out to a street and throw yourself in front of a car and tell somebody you're suffering for Jesus. They're going to think you're a Looney Tune. Amen? You're not going to deliberately hurt yourself at work or whatever. And you're not going to blame everything, sickness, disease, and whatever, I'm suffering for Jesus. Hello? Amen. Jesus does not put sickness on us.
Amen.
Okay? He does not bring us to poverty. People say, yes, Jesus took my family away. No, he didn't. The devil did. But Jesus rescued us so that we could be separated unto him. Amen. Yeah, well, the Lord did this. No, the Lord didn't allow that to happen. Well, the Lord must have, you know what? I must have opened this ministry because God, it was God's will that I went to the streets, became a drug addict, killed many people, destroyed many families so that I can become a pastor of a drug ministry. No way. That was not his will for me. Does everybody understand that? But those things that I went through, he turned to the good, didn't he? Amen. Because he can turn all things to the good, to those who love the Lord.
Amen.
So he'll use your circumstances and the Holy Spirit will bring it to remembrance so that you'll be able to use it for his glory, not for our glory. So obedience is learned, isn't it? If you stick your hand on the burner enough times, you're going to learn not to do it. You suffered enough burns, right? And not only that, when your mom put butter on it and realized that it was the wrong thing to put on it for all those years.
Amen.
And that's all you need to do is go out in the garden and pop up some aloe. And your mom had a whole yard full of aloe. You know, it was all out there and you were still using butter going, whoa! Right? Come on. We learned from that, didn't we? Well, even as a child of the Most High God, you will be afflicted. There will be things that happens in your life. But the Bible tells us that we're the count it all joy. Because it's working perfection in me and you. It's establishing me and you. You know what's happening? The Lord is allowing those circumstances to squeeze me and you. Did you ever cook chicken? You know what comes at the top? Scum. Yeah. A diamond is produced by the pressure of coal and it becomes a diamond. Gold is not the color gold when it's pure, it's clear. So these sufferings that you and I are going to go through, we're going to learn from them. The problem is when we don't learn from them, we go back to them. Amen. It's called going back to your own vomit. Amen. So understand that obedience is learned, isn't it? It's learned. It's a part of discipline, isn't it? In fact, obedience is a fruit of discipline. Does everybody get it? If you're not disciplined, you're not obedient. So they work hand in hand. They shake one another's hand. Glory to God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, Papa, teach us obedience. He is. Okay. Now obey. Hallelujah. Obedience is God's will. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In verse 3. Is everybody there? Famous scripture. Let's read this together. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Man, we need to have that tattooed on our foreheads. That way we can read it off everybody else. Hello? Everywhere we would look, we'd say, okay, thank you, Lord. Or thank you, Lord, thank you. Because we have a tendency to lose sight of that, don't we? In verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, he says that we're to do all of these things, right? Now, look at verse 6. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You cannot punish disobedience until your obedience is fulfilled. Does everybody understand that? So in other words, you can't kick the devil's butt unless you are obedient. There are many people who try to do the right thing, come against the devil, and they lose because they're not in obedience, or they are not in that position of obedience. Amen? In Ephesians 6:12, we might also clarify this. Amen. This is another tattoo we need on people's heads. In Ephesians 6:12, we can all read this together. So you understand that what we just read was telling us that the battle is in the mind, isn't it? Amen. That we're to take those thoughts and imaginations and cast them down into the obedience where we can actually punish them, and punishing them is that they don't have dominion over you. Okay? But you're not going to take dominion over them if you're not obedient. In Ephesians 6:12, let's read it. For we do not wrestle flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So we're not fighting one another. You're not fighting your boss. You're not fighting your wife. You're not fighting your children. Yes, you're fighting yourself because the devil's using you sometimes. Hello. But you're fighting powers of darkness, known as demons, evil spirits, unclean, seducing spirits. Amen? Amen. Praise be to God. Let's turn to Timothy. Hallelujah. I think we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll also get this in here so we don't lose track of what we're fighting, and why obedience is so important. Everybody there? Chapter 4, and verse 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, and it says, now the Spirit, what Spirit? The Holy Spirit expressly says, well, let me tell you something. If the Word says that the Holy Spirit expressly says, it means He's writing it in neon signs, illuminating it, bing, 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 amen? Now, the Holy Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, are we in the latter times?
Yes.
Some will depart from the faith. In other words, others will walk away from Jesus Christ and serve other gods, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's happening now. The word heed means listening to. Listening to. You know why people go bonkers? Because they're listening to the voice of the stranger. They're listening to the voice of the devil, known as deceiving spirits. And what do? They lead you to their doctrine. That's why it's known as doctrines of demons. Amen? Remember, Paul warned us also. He said, many will come in my name preaching the same gospel, but it'll be another Jesus. That's known as doctrines of demons. Doctrines of men is also known as doctrines of demons, because the doctrine of man was listening to the demon who wrote it. Amen? Hosea 4:6. Come on, let's go to the famous Hosea 4:6. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hosea 4:6. Anybody got a page number? Anybody got a page number? 608. Glory to God. Hosea 4:6. Everybody there? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, let's all read this together. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Whose people? Wow, God's people. They're destroyed for, no, remember, lack. The word knowledge is a representation of knowledge, godly knowledge. It's also a representation of wisdom, lack of fellowship, and lack of obedience. Does everybody get me? Let's go on. Because you've rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Now, some of us were forgotten because our parents forgot the law of God. Amen. Now, some of our children have been forgotten because we have forgotten the law of God because nobody was there to tell them. Amen? Amen. In other words, when I was a young child, I went to church. In fact, I was an altar boy. I didn't know the Word of God. I believed in God, and I thank God that I had that opportunity to believe in Him. I remember the Ten Commandments, not that I obeyed them, because I didn't have the power to obey them. But there are children now being grown up that don't, because the Ten Commandments have been taken out of public places, the Holy Spirit doesn't even have that to convict them on. Because we're coming to a close of this age. Things aren't going to get better, they're going to get worse. And your fight's going to get harder. So we see here, the Lord says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because they reject the knowledge, the Lord rejects them from being priests. And that's the first office that you and I are called to be. Priests. Amen? Amen. Praise be to God. Now, let's go to James 4. James 4. So we are also destroyed for lack of obedience. Does everybody get it? We're destroyed for lack of obedience. Verse 7. James 4 and verse 7. Now, I want us to stop after the second word. Everybody read it. Therefore, submit. Whoa, I like that. The word submit means obey. Hello? Therefore, submit, surrender, obey. To who? God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So what is he saying? When you submit and you obey, you can resist the devil and he's going to flee. Or else he's going to laugh at you. Number 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and you purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we see that submit to God in resisting means obeying, submitting under his authority, obey the things of God, and you will be able to resist the devil. Now, understand this. Obedience, write this down, is a required position in the Spirit. Obedience is a required position in the Spirit. In other words, without obedience, you will not be positioned correctly in the Spirit. Does everybody get that? Obedience is a required position in the Spirit because obedience positions you in the Spirit realm. If you're not obedient, you're not positioned. Yeah. Romans 12. Romans 12. Remember I shared with you already, obedience is a fruit of discipline. Obedience is a fruit of discipline. Romans 12. Glory to God. Holy Ghost nuggets. Thank you, man. Blessed be the name. 12, verse 1. Can we read this together, please? Is everybody there? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, what is he saying? Be transformed by renewing your mind. Now, wait a minute. We were in 2 Corinthians 10 where it said about casting down thoughts and imaginations. Right? Arguments and things that come against the knowledge of God. You can't do that and be unless you're obedient, right? It doesn't work. In other words, trying to resist the devil doesn't work unless you're obedient. Does everybody get it? Now listen. Now he says, renewing your mind. In other words, being obedient for the renewing of your mind so that you can prove three wills. There's three wills of God. There's a good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, understand this. Our obedience, now we are anointed to be obedient. Do you understand that? Our obedience not only positions us in the Spirit, but will position us in allowing God to manifest either His good, His acceptable, or His perfect will. The more obedient you are to God, His perfect will manifest. Does everybody get it? The less obedient you are to God, depends on your acceptable, on the acceptable or the goodwill. That's why I just share with you that obedience is positioning in the Spirit. Does everybody get it? Let me share this with you. Somebody was a believer, right? Who does some things that God says. Now, none of us can do everything, right? Only Jesus could do that. But there's still a perfect will for me and you that God has qualified as His perfect will in obedience. Somebody is occasionally obedient to God. They still put one foot in the world, one foot out. Still not totally surrendered yet. One week, they want to serve God. The next week, they want to serve self. The Lord can't trust that individual. Do you understand that? There's no way His perfect will is going to manifest in that person's life. Jesus cried out because He was performing and manifesting the perfect will of God, wasn't He? And He said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass me by while He was in the garden. He said, but not my will, Your will. He was manifesting the perfect will of God, which brought life. God's perfect will brings more life to me and you and to others around you. Somebody get it? God's, the more obedient, the more submissive you are to God, the more His perfect will manifests in your life and the more He can trust you. Does everybody get it? In other words, let me share this with you. And it's not about condemnation. It's not about judging. Somebody who smokes. Now, this may sound strange. Somebody who smokes. God's perfect will cannot manifest in that individual's life. It can't. But it's acceptable and goodwill can. Because he can never get close enough to God and position in the Spirit for the perfect will of God to manifest. Does everybody get that? It is so important that we don't lose sight of that. Somebody who drinks the same way. Now people go out and have an occasional drink with, don't get me wrong, hello, do you want to get to God? Depends how close you want to get to Him. For us in the discipleship house, we can never have a drink again. In fact, when I go to another church and they hand me communion, I smell it. Because if it's wine, I ain't drinking it. I'm telling you. And I smelled it before. When we went to another church, let me tell you, if there was wine in here, you would have heard me say, yo, nobody had this juice. Everybody get it? Remember, John came not drinking wine. John was the example. He was the forerunner of the return of the Lord, wasn't he? John the Baptist. He came. He was a Nazarite. You and I are called to be priests and Nazarites. How close you want to be to the Lord. If people are still getting fulfillment on God's creation instead of the Creator, it's called idolatry. Amen? He says, be separate. Come out from among them. And I'll be a father to you. And you will be my sons and daughters. That's a relationship. Is the Lord drinking wine now? No. He's not drinking wine, is he? He's our high priest. His position is where we're positioned. Does everybody get that? We are his offsprings. Where he is positioned, we are positioned. The Bible says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's why some don't receive the fullness of God. They don't receive the perfect will. They miss a lot of the blessings. Is everybody with me? So, your obedience determines how much your obedience is determines of what perfect will or what will of God is manifesting in your life. Is everybody with me? Good. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 15. Now, we know that we just talked about if those who reject the knowledge of God are rejected from being priests. 1 Samuel 15. Glory to God. Now we're going to see that continued obedience will be rejected from being a king. And a king is known as a warrior. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22. Hallelujah. Now you may be going, man, I can't do this. You're right, you can't. None of us can. It's about time we got out of our own strength. None of us can. But a relationship with the King of Glory, you'll be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And the word Christ means the anointing. The anointed one and his anointing. Glory. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, let's read it. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Now do you see, what does he say? He says, oh man, you got all these burnt offerings and sacrifices. Is that more important than obeying my Hallelujah. Is it more important than obeying my voice? Is offerings and sacrifices more important than obeying my voice? Let's go on. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. Let's go on, verse 23. For rebellion is as of sin of what? Witchcraft. And stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. So the opposite of obedience or obeying is rebellion, and the Lord says it's witchcraft. Why? Because who's being exalted? Amen. Amen. So we're either serving one or the other. And just because you're saved again, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, you can still serve the devil. He loves to trick us. But if you're truly led by the Spirit, you'll know the things that are ahead. He's going to tell you things that are coming. Amen? He's going to tell you. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it. Does everybody get it? Now, so we see here that we can be rejected from being priest, and we can also be rejected from being king. And king represents warrior. Warrior. And in Revelation 1, let's go there. Hallelujah. In Revelation 1, blessed be the name of the Lord. In Revelation 1 and verse 5 and 6, hallelujah. Let's read this together, please. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to whom who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we have been called to be kings and priests, haven't we? So we see here that we can be rejected from both. And when you become a believer, filled and baptized in the Holy Ghost, your first office that God gives you is priest. And a priest ministers to the Lord. You can never fulfill any office until you fulfill your priesthood and maintain your priesthood. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Let's go to Titus 1. It's in the T's. Timothy, Thessalonians, Titus. Glory to God Almighty. Titus chapter 1. Hallelujah. So obedience, the more obedience we get, the more obedience we become, I should say, the more the perfect will of God can manifest. Does everybody understand that? And the more obedience we are, the more positioned we are in the Spirit so that God's perfect will can manifest. Amen? Okay. And by not obeying and being rebellious to obedience, it means we are become involved in witchcraft. In other words, What he's saying, you've opened the door to the devil in your life. You've opened the door to the devil in your life. You know how many people come up to me and say, man, the devil ain't got nothing on me. I said, right, because the devil's in you. You know, I've been a believer for 30 years, right, and you still need deliverance. Hello? Praise be to God. We don't play no games here. We go right to the truth. It's truth that makes you free. It's not about emotions. If your feelings get hurt tonight, just put them under the blood. Take dominion over those feelings. Hallelujah. But they won't, because we already have the joy of the Lord. Amen. And verse 10. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Now, he's talking about the circumcision of the Jews. Okay? The religious. Those that have come to the Lord, and now they're going back to the law. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every work. Is anybody with me? I mean, that kind of like speaks for itself, doesn't it? So disobedience disqualifies us for every good work, doesn't it? Disobedience disqualifies us. So we must be obedient. We must be obedient. Now, there are... let's go to Jude 14 first. A couple pages over. A couple books over, excuse me. Well, a few books over. How about... book right before Revelation. Glory to God. Now, it's not chapter 14. There's only one chapter. You there? Let's do it. Now, Enoch, the seventh of Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. Are we in the last time?
Amen.
Amen. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Now, let me share something with you. There are many believers. Now, look at, we're not going into the teaching of saved or born again. I'm not going into that tonight. But when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior, you are conceived to be born again. The Holy Spirit is the only one birther. He's the only one that births. When you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and that seed is planted, when you invite the Holy Spirit to come and you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you become born again. Because it's that seed that is birthed. When you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are conceived. The Holy Spirit is still working, isn't He? And nothing is done without the Spirit. It doesn't mean that you have the Spirit. It means that the Holy Spirit is working, but you do not have the Spirit until you are filled with the Spirit and then baptized with the Spirit. Does everybody get it? Okay. Now look it. So he's saying here, because you know many believers are doing this, aren't they? They're grumblers, complainers, this, that, cause division. It says these are sensual. They're even mock God sometimes. Don't they?
Amen.
And it says these are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. It doesn't mean that they're not saved. Does everybody get it? But eventually they're going to break covenant unless they get the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is happening right now. They are disobedient, aren't they?
Amen.
They are disobedient. Mockers in the last day. Why? Because here's the answer. They do not have the Spirit. That is the answer. Why? Jesus said, oh, I don't want to go here. Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Or see the kingdom of God. What? Manifest in your life. You must be born of water and born of Spirit. So many are born of water, which means a remission of sin by the baptism of John or by confession that they're a sinner. But they've never gone to part two. Two means witness. You got to do two to be the witness. Jesus says in Acts 1:8, when the Spirit comes upon you, then you will have power to become a witness. They've only done number one.
Amen.
They ain't done number two. So two means witness, doesn't it? That's why. That's why Jesus said, Jesus warned through the preachings of Paul, the apostle, he said, many will come preaching the same gospel, but it'll be a different Jesus. My Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Somebody that doesn't preach it is not preaching the same Jesus.
Amen.
They're holding back. And that's why they're taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Because either you tell the truth or you don't. And only the devil doesn't want you to get the power to know Christ or to walk in Christ. Remember, Jesus' first preachings, he preached. What are the first thing he preached? He went into synagogue and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He was preaching the Holy Ghost. Amen? Ooh, I get caught up in all that. Ooh, my he. So you must have fellowship with the Spirit. They have fellowship with a familiar spirit. A deceiving spirit is known as a familiar spirit. They think they have fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Oh, God told me this. God told me that. I get gifts in the mail. God told me to send you this. Well, why did it come broken? Is everybody with me? I mean, come on, no. You know, you get a lot of, you know, there's two types of believers. Fruity and granola. The fruity are bearing good fruit. The other ones are fruity and nutty. Hello? And people can go off. And they can think that even when somebody is Spirit-filled and has the Holy Ghost, they go beyond what God is telling them to do. They open the door to a mixed anointing and they begin to fellowship with familiar spirits. And they can pray in the Holy Ghost. Believe me, we've cast enough out of them. I've seen it. People waking up in the middle of the night telling me an angel appeared to them with the Star of David on his chest. What would an angel appear to somebody with the Star of David on their chest? Come over here. Let me cast that familiar spirit out of you. How ridiculous. Anyways. Hallelujah. So anyways, these are things that, you know, we gotta have discernment to know what's going on in the spirit. So remember, our obedience, remember it says, when your obedience is manifest, then you will be able to punish the disobedience. Amen? Okay. Now, there are definite benefits of being obedient, isn't there? Deuteronomy 4. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 4. Okay. Let's start at verse 27. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. Is everybody with me? And there you will serve gods. Now the Lord is speaking to the Jews. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and all of your soul. Now, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. You are in distress. When you are in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and what? Obey His voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which He swore to them. What does He mean by that? The promises of God. Your obedience will manifest the promises of God in your life. Does everybody get it? That's why some people, the promises of God, the covenant promises of God, are not manifesting in their life because they're not obedient. Remember, obedience brings you in position in the Spirit to receive the fullness of God. So we see that the first thing that happens in our obedience is promises are kept. Promises are manifest in our life of God. The promises are there. In Exodus 19, verse 4. Exodus 19 and verse 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed what? Obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you should be a special treasure to me above all people, for the earth is mine. You shall be a special treasure. How are you going to be a special treasure? Because the fullness of God is going to begin to manifest. His blessings, His promises. These things are going to start to manifest in your life. The more obedient you are, the more you get. Let's go a little further. And you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So we see here that priesthood will be established, won't it? So we see that we will be a special treasure to God, and our priesthood will be established. Obedience is better than sacrifice, right? So you don't go to the Lord and you don't say, "Oh Lord, I've been on my knees for days. Oh Lord, I have sacrificed this. Oh Lord, I have done this." He's saying, "Quiet. I'm not interested in your sacrifice. I'm interested in your obedience. But Lord, I gave up all of this. I'm not interested in your sacrifice." Why? Because what I got for you is much better than your sacrifice. If you obey me, you'll see my promises are much greater than any sacrifice that you can give, because He gave the great sacrifice. You can't beat that. Hallelujah. Okay, where are we? Exodus 15? 24. Good. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. What did he do? He tested them and said, "If you diligently heed, listen, the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight," so you can listen and not do it, "give your ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who what? Heals you." So we see obedience brings healing, doesn't it? Obedience brings healing. Glory, hallelujah. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. It is good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Glory. Joshua. Joshua. Is everybody there? In verse 7. This is for me and you now. You ready? "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. So, obedience will bring prosperity and success, but will try and grip you as fear. Fear tries to grip you. Amen. So being obedient, because he says, obey my word, will bring you prosperity and success. And let's go to 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings, hallelujah. Everybody all right? Want to be obedient?
Amen.
Good. Hallelujah. I want to be obedient too. First Kings 3. We'll make this real simple. Verse 14. Everybody read this together. So, if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So, obedience will what? Lengthen your days. Isn't there wonderful blessings in obedience? In James 1. Glory, hallelujah. James 1. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. You know, also you must understand that obedience, okay, remember we said brings glory to God. As you mature more and more and you begin to move in the gifts of the Spirit and God begins to put you in position to allow the gifts of the Spirit to activate and utilize them as He trusts you, you must be obedient to those. Because it's the Spirit telling you. Amen? Does everybody understand that? Now, that's where you have to have the discernment to know whether it's of God or not. You know, I was in jail, what was it, yesterday? Yeah. Monday? Yeah. Yesterday was Monday. And doing a service. And during the service, I kept hearing this word, Benedict, Benedict. I'm thinking, Lord, what's this Benedict? And I thought maybe it was Benny. I was like, maybe Benny. He kept saying Benedict. I said, okay, Benedict. All right. Well, when you're ready, let me know what's what. And then I saw an individual there who I'd known and knew that he went into disobedience and so forth. And counseled with him, he kept rejecting the counsel, rejecting the counsel, rejecting the counsel. And the Holy Spirit told him what was going to happen. And 6 months down the road, it happened. He lost his wife, his children, and he's in jail. HRS has the children, and his wife is about to go to jail. Also, and he's in jail. And they were counseled over and over and over. And they wouldn't listen. They said, yes, 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 in the meetings of counsel, but went out and did the wrong thing every time. So, as we were praising and worshiping, I saw myself call him up and say, all right, come on, let's get rid of this thing. And I cast it out. And I said, Lord, and I just felt that in my spirit, it was like, Lord, maybe that's what he wants, but is it what you want me to do? And I wasn't at peace because it was like going to bring glory to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I was concerned that it was going to bring glory to me and not to the Lord. Yeah. So I waited, and I waited. And during the service, I asked, does anybody know a Benedict or Benny? Or is anyone in here? No. I said, okay, Lord, I don't understand this, but you keep telling me this word name Benedict. And I said, does anybody know a Benedict? And one guy that was brand new, first time had ever been in our service, said, I know a Benedict. And I said, well, who is he? He says, it's my co-defendant. I said, whoa, come on up here. So we prayed and we broke the soul tie off of that and severed him from that so that God can work on his behalf. And then we prayed for Benedict that the Lord would visit him. And then after the service, the dude that I was telling you about came up to me and said, you know, that thing is still in me. And I didn't say a word. I told him to read his deliverance prayers. Hallelujah. So maybe if the Lord leads me again to it, I'll cast it out next time. Hallelujah. So we must be obedient in the gifts of the Spirit too, don't we? Hallelujah. Okay, where are we now? James 1. Oh, to God be the glory. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he who observes himself goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So we see obedience brings blessings, doesn't it? Blessings. Obedience brings blessings. Let's go to Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah 42. Isaiah, the prophet of the Son. Ezekiel, the prophet of the Spirit. Jeremiah, the prophet of the Father. And we all know that that's the same Jesus. Jeremiah 24, or 42, I'm sorry. Jeremiah 42. Hallelujah. And this Jeremiah wasn't a bullfrog. He was an anointed prophet. Glory to God. Jeremiah 42, very simple one. Verse 6. 42:6. I think we better read this together here. Whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Now let me share something with you. Obeying God's voice isn't always pleasant. God's going to ask you to do some things sometimes that just don't seem kosher. Does everybody get it? Sometimes it just doesn't seem... When people come to counsel and the Holy Spirit's saying certain things, sometimes it just, you know, it doesn't just... It just... Because the carnal mind can't get it. And but in the mind of the Spirit, you just trust. You know, everyone that comes to the discipleship house has prayed and asked God for direction. God brings them to the discipleship house because it's His perfect will. After a short period of time, what happens is, well, I'm all right now. God told me it's time for me to go. 2 months later, God told me it's time for me to go. No, that ain't God. Oh, yeah, it is. I got a relationship with Him. No, man, that's not God, because you made a commitment to Him. When the Lord sends us to a place to learn, you know, let me give you an example. The Lord sent me and a group of people out of our prayer group. I was in intercessory prayer every morning at 6 o'clock, sometimes 7 days a week and even more. And that's how the Lord raised me up, was intercessory prayer. And I was an intercessor for Benny Hinn's ministry. And I was a part of the group there. And we got to see wonderful miracle signs and wonders, always. A lot of people think he's a kook and whatever, but they don't know him. But he's a man of God, and God uses him in a great way. And one day the Lord shared with me, I saw this invitation about the teaching of the book of Revelation. And the Lord said, I want you to go. So I went with a group of people from our prayer group. There was about 10 of us, and my wife, and, you know, so we went. And the first meeting was this interesting, you know, some of the things were okay, but some of it just didn't witness to my spirit. So I said, Lord, can I go now? He said, no. I said, you want me here? He said, yes. Well, I showed up the next time, and, you know, about out of the 10 people, only about 5 people showed up. Next thing I know, nobody showed up. I was the only one. Even my wife didn't show up no more. And I said, Lord, now this was like a 6-week course, and after the classes, I would share with people what the truth was, because they were lying. They were not telling the truth. They were just trying to get people to join their church. I said, man, this ain't right. And I went up to the director and I said, listen, man, I want to tell you something. And when I raised my hand, they wouldn't answer me no more. So I was like, Lord, I mean, I'm rejected here. Can I get out of here? No. And he was teaching me about the difference of being under the law and being led by the Spirit. I said, okay. And it was an organization that was teaching that you had to go to church on Saturday or you'd go to hell. And the Lord said, that's the law. And they've rejected my grace and my blood. And they put themselves under the law, thinking that their good works is what's going to get them in heaven. Wow. Can I leave now? Yes. So I left. That weekend, I'm fellowshipping with people I fellowshipped with before, and they're wanting to put a complaint to the pastor that they should have the Sabbath on Saturday. I said, listen! Now I knew why the Lord sent me there. Because they wanted to start going back under the law. And they were spirit-filled believers. But what happened is they wanted to try and improve and show God that they were willing to do whatever. but it's actually bringing them back under the law. Does everybody understand that? So, you know, I wasn't pleased by obeying God's voice by going to this place. I had to sit there and be rejected, humiliated, you know, and it was like, man. I'd pray in the Spirit and, you know, raise my hand and nobody would let me speak. But there were a few of them that would meet afterwards and I would tell them what was going on. Then they would hush me away after the class and, man, they didn't want me around there. I'm sure they were blessed. I mean, they, you know what they did? They even sent me a diploma and I left early. And a Bible. They sent me a diploma and a Bible and I looked up in the back under tongues and they said it no longer existed. I said, foolish flesh creatures. But anyways, to God be the glory. So sometimes obeying God's voice, that's why you can't go by your feelings. You must be obedient. Not by feelings. Of course it's not going to feel good sometimes. Because we are brought up in the tradition and the rule of the land. It was go by what you see, go by what you feel, and go by what you think. And you can no longer live that way no more. You'll be deceived and you'll go back right where you were. Praise. Romans 16. Obedience is the will of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Hello. Come on, now listen. Does everybody hear this? What did he say? I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. These are believers, aren't they? Avoid. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. So what has become known to all? Your obedience. Let me tell you something. Your obedience is known to all. You're obedient, everybody knows about it. When you're disobedient, everybody knows about it. The thing is they speak about your disobedience, but they don't speak about your obedience. Hello. They'll love to speak about your disobedience, but man, when you're obedient, it's self-righteous individual. Remember, the world doesn't know righteousness. They're under the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They don't know righteousness. They think righteousness is self-righteous. Okay, Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Are we having fun tonight?
Amen.
I'm having fun. Matthew 7. Praise be to God. Let's go to verse 21 and go right to it. Let's read this together. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So we must be obedient. We must do his will. Right? Good. Now go to John 15. John 15. I like recording these teachings. Now we can buzz through. And if you don't get it the first time, you can get the tape. Hallelujah. And not only that, things are added as the Holy Spirit leads me. You know, if I was to go through my notes, it would never match up what the tape says. John 15. Somebody there in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, which means obey, right? You will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So you got to understand, obedience means that we're abiding in his love. That means that when we have the love of Christ or the love of the brother. And verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Obedience maintains the joy of the Lord. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now we become a friend of the Lord, don't we? No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Obedience bears fruit. These things I command you, that you love one another. Hallelujah. In John 16, next chapter, in verse 7. John 16 and verse 7. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Circle verse 7, please. Highlight it. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus didn't have to say that too many times, did he? He was always telling the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. They didn't understand that. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. However, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. In other words, he'll guide you into all obedience. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and what? Declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So we must have fellowship with the Spirit. Does everybody get it? Fellowship with the Spirit brings glory to Jesus and convicts us as needed, supplying all of our spiritual blessings. Fellowship with the Spirit convicts men of sin because of unbelief, doesn't it? Unbelief of what? The Word. The Word. Convicts men that Jesus is the righteous one, and convicts men that the power of Satan has been broken. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now we know that, let's go to Titus 3. Since we're speaking about the Holy Spirit. Titus 3. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 3. Titus 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the Lord and the love of the Lord our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we see here the Holy Spirit regenerates, doesn't he? In Acts 1:5 it says that he baptizes. Just write these down. Acts 1:5 he says he baptizes. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, it says, he indwells. In Ephesians 5, 18, it says, he infills. He infills. Ephesians 5, 18. Am I going too fast? Okay, I'll back up. In Acts 1, 5, He baptizes. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, he indwells. In Ephesians 5, 18, he infills. In Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, he seals. In Acts 1, 8, he empowers. Glory to God. In Galatians 5, 16 through 18, Galatians 5, 16 through 18, 1 Corinthians 12, 1, everybody got them? Praise God. Now, oh, glory. Deuteronomy 28. Glory. Thank you for the oil of gladness here, Daddy. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy. A few more scriptures and we're over and ready to obey. Deuteronomy 28. Glory to God. And verse 15. Let's read it together. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Ooh. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall be you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. So I would say obedience is very important. Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings curses. Romans 5:19. Did we do that one already? No. Romans 5:19. Oh, praise God. Okay. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You came and rescued me. Amen. Romans 5:19. Is everybody there? Let's read this together, please. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Hello? And who is that talking about? Do you know that your disobedience can cause many to sin? So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Now your obedience can cause people to be righteous. Does anybody get it? Important. And you can write the scripture down. In 1 Samuel 12, 1 through 14, it talks about David, who was king. And he fell in fornication with Bathsheba. He was disobedient, wasn't he? This disobedience brought a curse on his family, to where his sons and so forth fell into fornication and so forth, and even Solomon and whatever. In fact, it removed David from the desire of his heart was to build the house of God. And the Lord said, you can't. You got blood, innocent blood on your hands. Now, wait a minute. He was a warrior. He went out and killed many people. Yes, but he murdered a man. He didn't kill the person. There's a difference. Being ordained by God to do something is different than doing it for your own lustful things. And when David asked if he could build the house of the Lord, he said, you can't, but Solomon will. Amen? Okay. Now, God forgave him, didn't he? But what he sowed, he had to reap. And we still reap what we sow. Just because you're in Christ don't mean you ain't reaping it. Amen? If you fall in fornication and have sex with a woman and she becomes pregnant, that ain't going to stop her from having that baby. Your repentance. You are going to reap, and you'll have to pay child support and whatever, and do whatever it is. Marry her? I don't know. Whatever we got, Mark. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go to Jeremiah 7. You know, we must stay on this course of obedience. It's important. You know, think about Jesus. Look what Jesus did. Now, here's something really important. Go to Jeremiah 7, and I'll tell you about the story about Jesus. And when John the Baptist was put in prison, right? Jesus knew he was in prison. Jesus knew he had to stay obedient. He loved John. He boasted about John the Baptist, didn't he? In fact, he said he was the greatest prophet. But Jesus knew he had to stay on course to fulfill the perfect will of God. But the devil wanted Jesus to get off course and see if he could attack Jesus in his emotions because he knew how much he loved John. So, John was in jail representing the old man. When Jesus shows up on the scene, your old man better be locked up. John was in jail. Now he sends his disciples to ask if Jesus was the right one. And here John, a little while ago, saw Jesus coming down. He baptized Jesus in the water and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." So he knew he was the right one, but the devil was, he was taking heed of the voice of the stranger. Now the disciples come and see Jesus, and they said, "John wants to know if you're the right one." And Jesus tells them. Jesus did not run to go see John in jail. It would have taken Jesus off of his course of obedience. Does everybody get it? Jesus knew he was going to be beheaded and die. He didn't go comfort John. He sent message back. Tell them, tell John, what do they see? Miracles and so forth. He didn't say, "Yeah, I'm the one." Just tell them what they see. He didn't go visit John. He didn't do any of that stuff. Because he would have got pushed off of course by his emotions. Obedience keeps you on course. Jeremiah 7. Another nugget from the Holy Ghost. And verse 21. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt," which means bondage, "concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And walk in all the ways that I commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward." Disobedience will bring you backwards, not forward. Backwards, not forward. Does everybody get that? In Ephesians 5, 6. Glory. Ephesians 5, 6. We don't want to go backwards, do we? Man, tired of going backwards. It's like going back in quicksand. It's harder to get through again, eh? Ephesians 5, 6. Glory. But we're going all the way. Hallelujah. Somewhere around there, let's see. Okay, let's start at verse 1. Is everybody there? Amen. Ephesians 5, 1. Thank God you brought your erasers. Is everybody there? Let's read it. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, giving himself for us, an offering in the sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. So the wrath of God will come on those who are what? Disobedient. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. One more scripture after this. And you'll be flying out of here and glowing. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. God is good. Oh, yes. Chapter 1, I believe. Did I say 2 Thessalonians? Good. Is everybody there? Verse 3. Chapter 1, 3, 2 Thessalonians. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. If your faith grows exceedingly, so does your obedience. And the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints. So he wants to be glorified in us, doesn't he? And to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And to God be the glory. One more verse, Luke 9. Whew! Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9. Glory. Oh, you're so good, Papa. Thank you for the joy. I thank you for the joy of the Lord tonight. Yes. 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 Can we read this together, please? Verse 23. Better make it quick. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come to after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? So, obedience is what? Denying ourselves and obeying Christ. We must pick up our cross daily, which is obedience. Now, Father, we thank you that obedience is your will, and we desire to do your will. So, Father, we ask that you'll bless the seed and protect it that's been imparted into us. Give us the thirst and hunger and desire to be obedient unto you to the end. And we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.